Gracious Father, we are grateful again to be back in your house again this evening. We pray, Lord, may you break the bread of life unto us, Lord.
Amen.
Just a word from you that will better our Christian experience.
Amen.
Grant it, Father. In Jesus' name we have prayed.
Amen.
Amen. You're happy to be in church? Say amen.
Yes.
Give the Lord a big hand. I want to read again from the book of Leviticus 23. From verse 1. You're there, say amen. I'll be here with your Bibles. I'm not talking about the screen. I don't have the time to read the quotes for you. Where Brother Abraham said, I love to hear your Bibles, the pages of your Bibles. So make sure you come to church with your Bible. Don't just come to church without the Bible. You go to the farm without a hole. You have to be identified with the Bible. Don't you love the Bible? It's the word of God. Identification. So let's read the scriptures of them that keep you standing. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, did you hear the scripture? And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, and the Lord spake to William Branham, saying, the word of God is just, it's not perfect. In another place you hear God say, and the Lord spake to Moses and Aaron. In other words, and the Lord spake to William Branham and the fivefold. So if his word he speaks to the William to the dispensational prophet, that Aaron will re-echo to the people, the fivefold. That's God's pattern. So why do you get angry when we say William Branham says? When God speaks to Moses, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. You believe that? Say amen. So, and the Lord spoke to Moses. Did you hear that? Speak to the children of Israel. Speak unto the children of Israel. The Lord spoke to William Branham. Speak to the bride. And you are the bride of this altar. You believe that? Say amen. Speak unto the children of Israel. And say unto them, consigning the feast of the Lord, which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocations, even these are my feasts. You please be seated. We'll continue reading. It says, these are my feasts. Do you know what a holy convocation is? Convocation is the gathering of eagles. Group of eagles. Just Google it. Just check it. Before this internet came, God knows that his children are eagles. And they have to eat eagles' food. And he said their gathering is called convocation. And that convocation is the holy one. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
6 days. Shall work be done. But the seventh day is a Sabbath of rest and holy convocation. You shall do no work. Therein, it is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. All right, so I quickly jump to verse 23. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, in the first day of the month, Shall you have a Sabbath? A memorial? A blowing of trumpets? And holy convocation? Ye shall do no servile work therein, but ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. Did you hear what he said? Ye shall do no servile work. It's not that you will not do a work, but civil service work. You will not do your personal business. You will do the work of God. A divine service. That is what you are commanded to do. Did you hear that? So tonight we want to continue with the feast of the Lord. The feast of the Lord. I'm sure you have it somewhere in your laptop, isn't it? This feast is the Lord's own. We have the Lord's prayer. He said, that's what God calls it. It will be the feast of the Lord. It's not so automatically. He said, God, from the scripture we have, right? God said, speak to the children of Israel. He didn't say to the people of the world. He said, to my own children. He has excluded some people. It's not everybody that can partake in this feast. It's only Israel that can partake. Ephesians 1 says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful, which includes me and you, in Christ Jesus. What of the sinners at Ephesus? Nothing concerns God for now. God, so you, if you are not a saint, if you are not a faithful, you are on your own. But if you are a saint, you are a faithful in Christ Jesus, it is to you. So this feast, it's not to the whole world. It's not to the people of the world. It is the feast of the Lord. It is not your wedding feast. It is not your birthday feast. It's not the feast of your grandfather. It's not your personal feast. It is the feast of the Lord. And if the Lord invites you to a feast, and you are ready to come, you will do exactly what he tells you to do. Did you hear that? Because it's not your own feast. It is the feast of the Lord. And it's to the children of Israel. And we saw that it is Israel and the church. It is Israel and the church. And they started with the feast of the Passover. Did you hear that? Because man is made to be connected to God. God connected man to himself. And without God, man is dead. Spiritually and physically. Did you hear that? And so for you to be connected to God, God connects you back through the Passover. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Where we have read. When you go home, read the whole chapter of Leviticus 23. You know, we have very limited time. I might ask you, you don't know whether I'll call any of you to ask you whether you have read. So don't embarrass yourself. Read it. First Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. Put out therefore the old leaven,
that
ye may be a new lump,
as ye are
unleavened, for even Christ our Passover
sacrifice
for us.
Uh-huh.
So, for you to be connected back to God, you must have a Passover. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with unleavened bread, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. So just as they were commanded to keep feast in the Old Testament, we are also commanded in the New Testament to keep the feast. And that's why we are here tonight, to feast with the King, dying as his guest. How blessed these pilgrims are! God's people have always been pilgrims and strangers. In every land they have been. When Jacob appeared before Pharaoh, and Pharaoh asked him, how old are you? He said, the years of my pilgrimage. The years of my pilgrimage is not compared to the years of my fathers. It's so little. It's 130 years. What is 130 years compared to eternity? He understood that he came from somewhere. He has to go back to another country where he came from. And we are not of here. We are pilgrims. We are strangers. Here on earth. Here in Nigeria. We are passing by. And as we are passing by, we don't take the habits of Nigeria. We don't take the habit of America. We don't take the habit of Canada or Germany. We take the habits of
heaven.
To keep the feast of the Lord. That is our habit, that's our character. Whatever you do on a constant basis becomes your habit, becomes your character. And so we identify with the feast of the Lord. You can't even come to Christ and be his child without partaking in this feast. Seven feasts. And so we talked about the feast of the Passover. Look, friends. You see this entire feast. There are topics on their own.
It can
take us a whole year to digest all of them, because the word of God is an inexhaustible fountain. So we just touched as highlights and stop where we can stop. And so on Wednesday we talked about the feast of the Passover, and then we saw that this feast of the Passover that they had in Egypt and they had in the wilderness, it's the type of Christ, the Lamb of God, Christ our Passover, that taketh away the sins of the world. And when we are connected to God by the Passover, which is Christ our Passover, every curse of the family passes over you. Every man, oh gracious. Every life, every curse, every sinful nature, every trap of the devil connected with our past has no option but to pass over you. Every sickness will pass over you. Go COVID passes over you. Why? Because you have the Passover. Christ is our Passover. So why are you afraid? Why are you afraid? Because we don't look at the symptoms. We look at what God is saying. Jonah said, the Bible says, Jonah looked the symptoms around him. He said he called them lying vanities. Abraham looked at his body and Sarah's body. He said it was not looking at those things. He said this is as blind vanities. All he was looking at is the promise of God. You know why they are lying vanities? They are actually lying vanities. I'm not saying it to make you happy. I am saying it because it's the truth. You know why they are lying vanities? Because that is not what God is written, is wrote about you. What he wrote about you is that by his stripes you are healed. You believe that? Say amen. That is why they are lying vanities. Anything that God did not say is a lie. He said, my doctor said it. I don't care what your doctor is saying. What is God saying? Anything God is saying, that is the truth. He said, let every man's word be a lie. Including your doctor's words. Including whoever's words. But my word be the truth. You believe that? Say amen. So why should you be sad? Why should you be sad? When God has spoken good things about it. Then we came to Feast of Unleavened Bread. And this Feast of the Unleavened Bread is to be observed for 7 days. For 7 days. The word. You take the pure word. Without creed. Without dogma. Without your idea. As God has given to us through his prophet. Take it to your heart. Believe it the way it is. Believe it the way he said it. And you will see the manifestation. Then we came to the feast of the wave offering. Or sheep wave. The Bible made us to understand. In 1 Corinthians 15. Christ being the first fruit. From the dead. Did you get that? And so he is the first. So this first fruit is waved on a Sunday. Accepted. And if it is accepted. It shows that the rest that are coming behind will be accepted. And Christ has been accepted by the Father. Do you believe that? And God said, we are accepted in the below. Glory to God. I'm grateful, sir. Oh, glory to God. So very quickly, the Feast of Pentecost. We count from Feast of Wave of Rain. 7 Sabbath. Then the next day is 50. That is the Feast of Pentecost.
Pentecost.
7 Sabbath.
Sabbath meje.
And you have 50. And we were made to know that Pentecost today
Pentecost
is the Holy Ghost Feast of Pentecost.
Pentecost
is the Holy Ghost in your soul. When you have the Holy Ghost in your soul, you are in the Feast of Pentecost. Because they received
Pentecost
exactly 50 days after the resurrection. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
50.
Yeah, daughter job.
But they were to keep it in the Old Testament. So I'm taking it side by side. Israel and the church. And after this, Feast of Pentecost.
Pentecost.
The next one is the Feast of Trumpets. Now you see, between the Feast of Pentecost and the Feast of Trumpets, there's the
God.
There is a time of quietness, of silence. Like we say on Friday,
on Wednesday,
that all these feasts are observed within 7 months. Which is a type of the seven church ages. Or seven church ages. And so when you look at the seven church ages, that's a pyramid there. You will see that the time that was started, it was Ephesian church age. There was a lot of activities. It was a wonderful time for that age. Apostle Paul laying the foundation. And the church was almost pure. Then as time goes on, there was a time of the reformers. The reformers. And there was a time that it was almost quiet. In the territorial church age. It was almost 1,000 years. And the Christians was a dark age. Christians were killed. Everything was quiet. As though God was not there. The Roman church had a field day. Terrible that age. Sealing their testimonies with their blood. But the Bible says, except a corn of wheat goes to the ground and dies, it abided alone. So this seed that was sown in Ephesian churches must go to the ground and die. Otherwise, it will abide alone. Then a little light sprung up in Luther. Justification. And then another one in Wesley. But at the evening time, the seven churches, activity resumed. Feast of the trumpets, the trumpet was blown through the great minister William Branham from divine healing. And we are gathered again for the Feast of Atonement. Entering the Feast of the Tabernacles. And so Israel, we have a time after the Feast of Pentecost to go home.
Lati lone
or to be quiet.
Tabi lati wa ni dakeje.
Time of season of quietness.
Jo ila koko idakeje yen.
Meditation.
Ati dalare.
Then they are to resume in the seventh month.
Wo wa pada ni.
The Bible says.
Osukeje
ni so. The first day of the seventh month is the feast of the trumpet.
Ojo akoko ti osukeje ni ise ti pe na, ni ase ti pe na.
In the days of the voice of the seventh angel.
Ojo angel keje.
When it shall begin to sound, sounding word, the trumpet, the mystery of God should be finished. As he has declared to his servants,
the prophet,
to gather us to gather the bride. And how did he start sounding it? With that great gift of healing. That great gift of
discernment.
And all across the world, gathered the people in preparation for the Feast of Atonement. Did you hear that? And so,
now,
they will come for the Feast of Atonement, Israel.
Israel,
and when Israel comes to the Feast of Atonement, the priest blows the trumpet. And when he blows the trumpet, Israel will gather.
He said,
the trumpet is blown. Maybe during the time of war, if there's war, or for the children of God to gather for a feast. But in this case, it's for a feast. And then when they go, they are going for atonement. They gather them for the Feast of Atonement. And if you are redeemed tonight, you are in the Feast of Atonement. Accepted the atonement. Because this word is the bleeding word
with
Abraham. What Abraham says. He said, this message is the bleeding word. And when we come to feast, we don't come statue. We don't come cold. We don't come sad. We come rejoicing. You believe that, say amen. When you know that your sins are gone, how will you be sad? You ask me why I'm happy. So I just tell you
what is
why.
So
because my sins are gone.
You are still
gone under this Passover.
And
when I made this covenant, who asked me where they are?
My sins
are gone.
Where
are my sins
gone?
Because an atonement has been made. Christ is our atonement. He paid the price. Why should I be sad? Then you come to church. You will not break loose. What's wrong with you? But Abraham says, I honor the Pentecostals. Give me that code. I will read that one. I'll read it again. He said, I honor the Pentecostals. Let me look for it. Just type it. 620701, paragraph 141. 0701, paragraph 141. You have to let loose. Break loose. Why do you keep this
touching?
What is wrong with you? You keep yourself. I said, brother, you're living in the quietest world you ever lived. If you go to hell, there will be weeping and wailing, and gnashing of teeth. If you go to heaven, there will be screaming and shouting all the time. Why? I said, man, if that made chills run up your back.
As
the what will it do when you get to heaven? Why you will freeze to death? When you get there, I said, you will be so out of place. But even the angels with wings over their face and hands over their feet and over their face are singing holy, holy, holy.
Lord
God Almighty, holy, holy. God is an object of worship. God is worship. Worship. In anything, I honor the Pentecostal people.
It's
to let loose and worship God.
Was just for long.
Let loose and worship God. When you come to a feast, let loose and worship God. You believe that, shout amen. If you believe that, shout a loud amen. It's touchiness. What is the meaning of that? Why will it be touching? Why should I feel discouraged? What should the shadow fall? When his eyes is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. Is he watching you tonight? Is he watching you tonight? I say rejoice. Rejoice. Again, I say rejoice. If you believe this, shout amen. Let me read another one for you. Don't come to church as if you are in the procession.
6102 6104 24.
The greatest news flash.
Paragraph 18.
Let me read it, maybe you get it. Some people make the gospel a funeral procession. That's right. They go to the church. 6104 24. The greatest news flash. Some people make the gospel a funeral procession. You didn't get it? I'll read it, you get it. Just search it. 610424. Did you see that? It's there. The paragraph in are not the same. Just search it. Just go to someone. You just search some people.
Hello.
Or any of the word that you see, you can pick. Or funeral procession. You'll see it there. Some people make the gospel a funeral procession. That's right. They go to church. Oh, sorry. Our paragraph here are different. Thank you. Some people make the gospel a funeral procession. That's right. They go to the church. And just like it was a funeral procession, others make it a frolic. Some people make it cold. Some people make it a jamboree. But we are not supposed to be either way. We are right in the middle of the road. That's right.
Ben.
Some of them just make it a frolic.
What is so do to the
just a big time to go and play a bunch of music. Jump up and down on the platform. Dance all over the platform. Or down in the
aisle.
And run.
Just
sit down. And talk about their neighbors. That's right.
Ben.
Some of them that think they ought to stand and say the doxology and the Apostles' Creed. I want to somebody to show
me
one thing written in their is Apostles' Creed.
And you know, I
believe in the Holy Roman Catholic Church.
I don't.
I believe in communion of saints. That's spiritualism. I don't.
You
say that's what they will say they do.
Robert
said, I don't. But they are so busy making those things up. And they make it a funeral procession. It's not a funeral procession. And neither is it a frolic. It's a what? It's a what? A feast with who? A feast with Christ, when the believer. Come and die in the master calling. Come and die. It's a feast with Christ. How can you come to a feast and be sad? How can you come to the feast complaining? How can you come to a feast as if you are in the morgue? No! You come to a feast to rejoice. If you are not playing the instrument,
Psalms 92.
If you are not playing the instrument, you have another instrument that you can use. And that is the instrument of 10 strings. Instrument of 10 strings. That's what Brother Abraham says. Instrument of 10 strings. Give me verse 1. It is a good thing. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. To show forth what?
That's beginning, huh?
That loving kindness in the morning and that faithfulness every night upon an instrument of what? Brother Abraham said, that is your fingers. Give me the
test,
amen. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Give the Lord a big hand upon an instrument of 10 strings. And if you don't have, if you have a harp, you say upon the harp with what? A solemn sound. Because we are in a solemn feast. So why will you come to church and not clap your hands? Why will you come to church and not feast with the Lord? Something is wrong with you. But God is calling you to a feast tonight. And that feast is the Lord's feast. The felon feast of the Lord. And then eventually this prophet, this prophet, the gospel sounded the gospel trumpet. William Branham sounded the gospel trumpet and gathered the bride for a feast of atonement. And we are right now in our atonement, which is the word. Christ himself is our atonement. The beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was what?
God.
And the word was made flesh and dwell amongst us. It is the word that became flesh. It is the word that blessed. And so when he became flesh, he went back again and became the word, sent it down again to his prophet. The same person, that's what William Brown says, we are feasting on the unleavened body, word body, bleeding word body, bleeding word body. Right now,
Better
under the feast of the tabernacles, and this the assembly of the tabernacles, we go with it up unto the millennium, which is the seventh day, the day of rest, and it will blend into the eighth day, which is eternity. Did you hear that? Say amen. You are going back to the first day. Jesus rose from the eighth day. Which is the first day of the week. That's
like
the Bible says, and on the eighth day. So let's say something quickly. Now let's connect back. Let's leave ourselves here. Let's connect back to Israel. So that you see a clearer picture. Israel has what we call the seven trumpets. Revelation 8. Revelation 9. Talked about the trumpets. The 5 and 6, 9. Revelation
11.
And so as God was dealing with them, the trumpet is to take you back to the atonement. Did you hear that? When the trumpets are blown, it is to gather Israel for the atonement. It is to gather the children of God for atonement. Remember, they are a shadow. They are actually our shadow. We are the substance for now. You believe that? Say amen. And so, since the feast of
Pentecost,
since the day of Pentecost,
that's your Pentecost,
up until now, there's a much gap. Until the seven churches, there was quiet and quietness. And God was ready to meet Israel in the feast of the atonement. And how to sound it? The first six trumpets. Right there in the he has to raise modern pharaohs.
Hitler.
Stanley. Mussolini. And the rest of them. Sounded that trumpet. And sent them back to their homeland. Preparing them for the feast of their atonement. So the feast of trumpets has gathered Israel already back into their homeland. That was not persecution. Had to be released upon them.
That's what.
So between the sixth trumpet and the seventh trumpet, God needed to call out a Gentile bride. And he brought in Revelation 10, 7. In the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God
should
be finished.
Hallelujah.
As he had declared to his servants the prophets. One mystery. And that mystery is Christ. That's why William Brown preached. Christ is the mystery of God revealed. Because God, through the ages, has become a mystery to the people. And they could worship the Son, thinking he says it's a God. Here we have, is it Ogun? Oh, what do you call it? Songo? And the rest of them. And the rest of them. In your village, you have different gods. Why? Because God became a mystery. Then William Branham came. I said, Christ is the mystery.
What
that God?
That you
are looking for. You believe that? Say amen. He walked on 2 feet. He walked on 2 feet. Here on earth. In him dwelt the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That is Christ. Now in this feast, we said they observe what we call the offerings, the sacrifices, the Sabbath. He says Sabbath. Sabbath means rest. Rest. The Bible made us to understand that a day with God is 1,000 years. And so, Brother Abraham told us that God himself for For the creation, he took 6,000 years. So when the Bible says, the first day, it's not the way we interpret it. It is 1,000 years. When Abraham said, when God said, let there be light, he said it took about 800 years. For land light to come. So God himself, he finished everything. And rested on the 7,000 years. So when you count the first day, second day, 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, 1,000, 6,000 years, he said he labored and worked. And rested on the seventh day. Did you hear that? Did you hear that? Say amen. He rested. Like I told you on Wednesday, that God was setting a calendar for the earth, for the universe. That this world cannot go beyond 6,000 years. Because the 7,000 is a rest. For the bride of Christ. It's a time of honeymoon. Because no man had lived one day before him. So you want them to experience that one day. 1,000 years. 1,000 years. Don't miss it, friends. Right there at the Feast of Tabernacles. I believe you will be there. I believe I'll be there. I believe you'll be there. If you believe it, shout amen.
Hallelujah.
We'll still be in time before we blend into eternity. After the white throne judgment. The interesting thing, Brother Abraham says, the first judgment throne was here on earth. He said the last one will be here on earth. Do you believe it? And we will judge the world. After this world is cursed. So all this Boko Haram and the rest. And what not? When we call them to book. And the denomination. And so when you appear, you know where you belong. Except you have been fair to the children of God. Otherwise, you will have your place with the devil. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And so there's the rest. But in the Old Testament, when they were given the law, they were to observe the Sabbath. 6 days. They shall labor and wait. And the first person that broke that law was somebody that his mother was an Egyptian. And what was it was you know that the danger of marrying outside of the camp? And so when they caught him breaking the law of the Sabbath, he
thought
of an Israelite or either one, or he was a mulatto or half caste. When Brother Brown said he's against it, every race should marry their race. And so when they brought him to Moses, Moses said, keep him first. Let me seek the face of the Lord. When you saw the face of the Lord says, stone him to death. Because that time there was no law for it. And they stoned him to death. The first person that broke the law of the Sabbath was stoned to death. Now Jesus came. When Jesus came, he didn't abolish the Sabbath. He didn't scrap the Sabbath. The Sabbath was changed to a person. Someone said, he said, come unto me. All ye that are level and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He said, rest to your soul. Oh, glory to God. So he changed the Sabbath from a day to a person. And he was there, he knew he changed it. He told the Samaritan woman, is the time shall come when the true worshippers will never go to Jerusalem. The worship in Judea.
Thou
shalt worship God in spirit and in truth. He said, now is the time. Present tense. Now is the time. Do you believe that? Say amen. That's why we don't need to go to Jerusalem. So God changed it and told his son as the only chosen place of worship, which is the Word, which is Christ. The chosen place of worship then was in Jerusalem. And it was a law that you must go to Jerusalem and worship and offer all these feasts. Brother Brown said, be it Pharisees, be it Herodians, be it scribes, whatever denomination you belong that time, if you want your worship to be accepted, you must go to God's chosen place of worship. And that was in Jerusalem. The temple in Jerusalem. When Nebuchadnezzar came and took the people of God into captivity and demolished that first temple. Daniel was among them. And they were there in Babylon. Because it was a law that they must worship in Jerusalem. They said, by the rivers of Babylon, where we sat down, and there we wept, where we remember Zion, for the wicked carried us away captivity, and requires from us a song. Now how can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? So like the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart be acceptable in that sight. Oh Lord. You believe that? Say amen.
So
God bless you. Until we see you on Sunday. If I saw Babylon, we sat down and there
we sat down.
And there we wept when we remember Zion, all the people died us away captivity. They require us a song, or how can we sing the Lord in a strange land? The word of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, oh, be accepted in the sight. Oh, shall we bow our heads? Gracious Eternal Father, we thank you for this 1 hour that we have spent listening to your word in continuation of this topic, the seven feasts of the Lord. Lord, understanding coming from you and revelation, we ask you give to each and every one of us. There is no part of the scripture or the message that is given for entertainment. there's a purpose behind it, why it was recorded in the scriptures. We pray, dear God, that that same purpose will be accomplished in the life of everyone. Let it be eternal, Father. May we not be just hearers, but be doers of your word. We ask to replenish your servant, through whom you have spoken unto us, for the virtue that has left him. Recall him and prepare him for the services ahead of him on Sunday. And we still desire greater height with you, dear Father. Let him be King of glory. Be with us as we enter into the second phase of this service. Thank you, eternal Father. In Jesus Christ's name we pray.
Amen.
Shall we rise? We'll close with this hymn 229. Lead me to Calvary.
Be with you till we meet again. Let's see.